Good morning. It is a minute after 10 on Wednesday, August 29th, and you are tuned to WPRB Princeton, New Jersey. Community-supported independent radio at 103.3 FM or online around the world at www.wprb.com. Welcome to another edition of Classical Discoveries. I am your host, Marvin Rosen, and I'm with you for this program every Wednesday between 5:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. I do switch gears at about 11 o'clock with more modern and electronic works on Classical Discoveries Goes Avant-Garde. Thank you so much for joining me. Would like to let you know that I will be with you again this Friday morning, August 31st, between 5:30 and 11 a.m., and we'll be presenting another one of my programs, Treasures of Early Music. I do hope you can join me for that. We are going to go now to music of Charles Ives. This is the Alcott's from his Concord Mass Sonata, as performed by my guest, Roseanne Vita Nejas.
Thank you.
You were just listening to the Alcotts from the Piano Sonata No. 2, Concord Mass, 1840 to 1860, of American composer Charles Ives. Our pianist was Roseanne Vitanejas, who is my guest until 11 o'clock. Roseanne Vitanejas, pianist, creates and performs innovative concert programs that illuminate the relationship of music to the visual and literary arts. She is currently the pianist in residence at the Jane Voorhees Zimmerly Museum at Rutgers, the State University of New Jersey. She has been attracting wider audiences to classical music through her popular lecture recitals featuring rarely heard composers and masterworks. In addition, she is the founder of the Music Makes Sense series for the Princeton Adult School, which is designed to help non-musicians enhance their listening skills through musical demonstrations and lectures, which help cultivate a better understanding and appreciation for classical music. Dr. Nejas earned diplomas from Trinity College London and graduated Phi Beta Kappa with high honors from Rutgers University with a bachelor's degree in piano performance. Now, after obtaining her MD degree from UMDNJ Robert Wood Johnson Medical School, she spent 18 years away from performing while training and practicing medicine as a board-certified internist. And upon her return to musical performance, she appeared on stage as guest artist with the New Jersey Symphony, and it was reported her sensitive interpretations of music both inspire and give comfort. Her talent for healing infuses her work. Dr. Nejas no longer practices medicine and devotes herself fully to music. She fervently believes music is a healing art and is essential to our humanity. Well, Roseanne, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here. And I guess, you know, today we're going to be listening to selections from your recent CD, which includes the Concord Mass Sonata and the Bartok Dance Suite. We will be focusing today, though, on Ives. Before we discuss Ives and the Concord Mass Sonata, actually, before we even go into that, you're a doctor.
Yes.
Ives was in another profession also.
Yes.
So I think there is a correlation between the two of you. Ives, of course, being in the insurance business, as we all know, and you as a doctor. And I think it proves that so many talented musicians have other fields in this world. And I think that people, you know, I know get very frustrated with music sometimes. Oh, you know, I have to do this. But music is a wonderful art, and that can enhance.
Absolutely.
Another profession as well. Before we go into Ives, tell us a bit about why you decided to leave the field of medicine and focus on music. I mean, you were there for many years.
I was. You just said, I was a pianist before I became a doctor, but I always wanted to be a doctor. So that was just a natural course of events. And then after my children were beginning to play piano and other instruments, I started going back to the piano little by little. And eventually the balance between practicing medicine and practicing piano began to switch. Yeah. And I found myself increasingly just always thinking about music, wanting to practice, and it was a natural progression for me.
And you felt, did you feel you may have even had a calling?
Oh, absolutely.
To go back into music? Do you think, possibly?
Well, it's something very deep inside, and it's some, as most musicians know, you can't really continue to deny it. Yeah. And so I just I was practicing part-time more and more, and then I just decided to make the full plunge and did it. And really, I'm very happy. I'm thrilled. I love to get up in the morning. I look forward to practicing, learning, researching, and I'm just having the time of my life.
And that's what life is all about.
Oh, absolutely. I really feel very, very fortunate.
Well, that's great, Roseanne. Going to the Ives, this is like wow. The Concord Mass Sonata is wow. And one of the very important piano works of the early 20th century. In fact, it's hard to believe it's about 100 years old.
Unbelievable. And it sounds so fresh and new. And you're right. It's 100 years old.
Wow.
It's written between, what,
1910, 1914.
Yeah,
yeah,
right
in that area. And it's really amazing. And you wonder also Ives, composer who was also associated with Ives and some of his sound people like Henry Cowell, who also wrote stuff that sounds way ahead of his time almost as well with his tone clusters and other effects. But what was it about this work that made you want to get into it?
Well, part of what I do at the Zimmerli Museum in New Brunswick is I work very closely with the curator, Alfredo Franco, the curator of education. And when he finds out what exhibit is coming or what wing art pieces in a particular wing he wants to focus on, we talk about different themes and what to program. So my job is to figure out a program that will have a logical connection to the artworks. Mm-hmm. And for the Ives, we talked about having a 20th century American composer masterpiece, and the first thing that comes into mind, of course, is Charles Ives.
Sure.
And this is just the icon, and all pianists kind of look at this as...
it's in another world in terms of learning difficulty and interpretive qualities and elements, and it is a...
It's a life-changing process, believe it or not.
It is, and you know, learning a work like this, which is long and involved dissonant and challenging, of course. Did you learn the movements in any particular, or did you begin with the Alcotts, let's say?
No. I started from the first page. And I did. And when I began this, I probably didn't know what I was getting into.
That was going to be my next comment.
Yeah, because it's one thing to say, oh, yes, I'll do the Ives Sonata, but it's another thing to actually sit down and do it. And I had never really even heard the entire thing all at once. I've heard movements, I've heard snippets, but I didn't really sit down and listen to the whole thing until I thought, this is the piece I'm going to tackle. So when I did, I realized, boy, this is going to be a big project. And looking at the first page, just even that, the first few notes, they're so intense. And with Charles Ives, as you know, he has... he puts all of his themes in pretty much on top of each other. And there's so many different rhythms and dissonant notes. You can't rely on your ear as to what's...
That's right.
Yeah, so you really need to read the music so carefully. There's no bar line, well, very few bar lines, very few time signatures. Everything has an accidental on it. The page looks just like a mass of black. So what I quickly realized was, in order for me to learn this piece, I'm going to have to get into the mindset of Charles Ives. And in order to do that, I started doing a lot of research, reading about him, reading about his composing styles, reading about what inspired him. And he wrote the essays before Sonata, and he self-published that before the internet and all these Amazon books.
Yeah,
that you
I guess so.
He was very much ahead of his time.
Yeah.
And so I began with that, and I read it, and then I began researching transcendentalism, and then researching even the artwork that was going on in the early 1800s. And that helped to inform me and how to learn this. And so instead of just learning notes and playing notes, it helped me understand and give an interpretive narrative, which is just the most fantastic narrative. And the sonata is a journey, just starting from that very first note to the last, even though he didn't write the movements consecutively. The way he has it, or the way, at least in my mind, in my concept, is that it is just such a narrative from beginning to end, and it is powerful and transforming and transcendent.
When you started learning the work, my assumption is wrong. Did you go from movements 1, 2, 3?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Because I felt like I was reading... I was just continually surprised as what was he going to do next? Mm-hmm. And everything builds upon the next. And so when I started learning the themes and saying, mm-hmm. oh, my God, I can't believe he just did that, or combined it with this in this particular tonality, it was just, you know, a
did
lot of surprises.
Did you find now, which is a, because I know myself, way back, I mean, I did a number of pieces from Messiaen's Vin Regard, 20 mm-hmm. Contemplations of the Infant Jesus, and performed a number of them. And I don't know if this, you felt what I'm going to say about the eyes. You start learning it. Did you find the reading was easier as you went along, or was it always a real challenge?
No, it definitely got easier. Once you learn the language, it's another world, yeah.
That's
and more fulfilling.
Yes, absolutely. And you feel so accomplished, too. You know, you get a good feeling, I think, too, when you start reading about the work, reading about the composer, learning it, and you say, gee whiz, I'm starting to get what this is about as you go along.
Because that's what I like to do. And you feel so connected to the composer, trying to understand what is he saying. Because Ives, as a personality, was just this fantastic New Englander who just had so much to say.
Sure.
He loved life. It was so vibrant. And that's how his music is.
Well, what I'd like to do now, well, we're going to listen to the movement the first movement, right?
Mm-hmm, Emerson.
Emerson.
Mm-hmm.
And before we hear this, what were some of the unusual piano techniques that I've used mm-hmm. in this piece? We've talked some.
Yes.
I mean, I know in the next movement he uses
The board. 14 and 3/4 inches.
What were some of the other techniques that were unique to you, if you're used? You know, I'm thinking about people who are used to playing more standard repertoire. Mm-hmm. What were some of the more unusual things?
Well, first, understanding the polyrhythms.
Right.
And trying to play so many different voices at once, and they're all saying something different. Actually, there's a little anecdote that Ives was listening to a rehearsal of, three places in England?
New England. Right.
And he was talking to the conductor. The rehearsal probably wasn't going very well, and because the music is difficult, and he said, Ives was just in his glory. He said, this is wonderful, just like a town hall meeting. Everyone for themselves, all of the different voices talking on top of each other. And so it's that mm-hmm. Vibrancy that I wanted to capture. So learning how to play the different voices and following the entire theme mm-hmm. that he's saying was one technique. Others was he uses an accidental, but then you have to realize it's just for that note. Because they're really, like I said before, no bar lines.
The rules learn as young piano students go out the window.
That's right. And then there's no real phrasing that you can rely on because there's no real bars. So there were a lot of new things I had to learn, but I think it was so worth it.
Well, we're going to hear this now.
Great.
This is the first movement we listened to of the Concord Mass Sonata of Charles Ives. This is the Emerson movement. We hear pianist Roseanne Vita-Nehas, who is my guest.
Thank you.
You were just listening to Roseanne Vitanejas perform Emerson from the Concord Mass Sonata of Charles Ives. Here's the weather forecast for the Princeton area from the National Weather Service. Today, sunny with a high near 81, a gorgeous day, north wind around 8 miles per hour. Tonight, clear with a low around 53 and light north winds. And tomorrow, Thursday, another beautiful day, sunny with a high near 86, west wind 3 to 8 miles per hour. We currently have fair skies and 71 degrees at Mercer County Airport in Trenton. Paul, I'm being joined today by Roseanne Vitanejas, who recently released a recording including music of Bartok and Ives, and we are spending time today discussing her performance of the Piano Sonata No. 2, the Concord Mass Sonata of Charles Ives. Roseanne, welcome back.
Thank you.
Talking about Charles Ives, many of our listeners may be aware that there is currently an effort to preserve his house in Reading, Connecticut. Mm-hmm. Apparently, I've read the house is owned by the composer's grandson, may be listed for sale.
Yes.
And, well, I mean, Ives is an important composer. I think this is totally
absolutely
wrong. It should be preserved.
Absolutely. We have to preserve the house and all that we can learn about him and his personality, because he was a seminal figure in composition.
He certainly was. And, you know, Ives is such an important American composer. It would almost be like, well, doing something similar with Chopin's house in Poland.
Yeah.
Or you think about other composers. I'm thinking any House of Tchaikovsky and anything that has a major figure in the music or any art.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah, and Charles Ives, even though he's, as we said, this was over 100 years, he still hasn't come into his, I mean, he's much more played and heard now, but still, I don't think he is well understood.
No, he's not. In fact, you know, I think what it brings back memories of an old article I read about Charles Ives a number of years ago. It was about Charles Ives, and the article was named, Are My Ears On Wrong?
Oh.
Which kind of says what might be. I mean, you hear all this wonderful Americana through his music, but it's mixed with so much. There's almost like a collage feeling in so much of his music.
But that was how he heard the world. He strikes me, from what I've read, as this character who just loved life and everything about it. And as we all know, life is not perfect. It's not always beautiful. It's not easy. And there is a dissonance in our own lives.
That's right.
And so he is able and courageous enough to just put what he feels and hears into notes. And then when you play that and a person is listening, it's just so accessible emotionally. Mm-hmm. If you allow yourself, you can't listen to Ives like you listen to Beethoven. You just have to.
And sometimes it takes more than one hearing.
Absolutely, and he's often said that he wants you to have that. He doesn't want you. He doesn't think music should be allow your ears to lie back in an easy chair. You have to participate.
Well, you know, talking about the Charles Ives house, if any of you are interested, you can, and are members of Facebook, and I know many of you are, you can go to Facebook and sign the petition on Save the Charles Ives House. And it's a major landmark in this country and definitely should be preserved. Your CD, Rosanna, if people are interested in purchasing it, what can they do? Where can they go? Who can they see? Give the info.
Well, they can go to my website, roseannevitanejas.com.wordpress.com. And there's a link there, and that takes you to CD Baby.
Right.
And you can purchase it through CD Baby. It's also on iTunes, both the physical CD and the digital. I like the physical CD because I wrote these program notes, and I try to help the listener go along following some of the different themes, because that is half of the fun. Because as you know, much of it is based on Beethoven.
Beethoven's Fifth, bum, 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 and you hear
that's
it
right.
kind of
through. And you hear it all the time, and then, of course, even in the Alcotts, you hear the variation. But it was just, it was so wonderful to go through that process. I have never done anything like that before, mm-hmm. so I had to find pictures and then obtain permission. So I was in contact with the museum in Budapest and the people at Yale. And so that's on the physical CD. But it's also on Amazon, but for some reason they have you're not able to find it if you look up Concord Sonata. But I think the best place probably would be my website or CD Baby.
Well, there will iTunes. Be a link on today's playlist to your website so people can click it and go, there they will be.
There you go.
Rosanna, you are currently pianist in residence at the Jane Voorhees Zimmerly Museum at Rutgers. And obviously you perform recitals there. Tell us about some of the performances you have presented. I know you did one on women composers not too long ago.
Yes, and that was actually in the same year I did the Ives. I had the male American composers because I played Ives, Gershwin, and Gottschalk. And then I did the American women composer concert to coordinate with the Joan Schneider retrospective. And that was very fun because I didn't know many women composers. And so what I decided to do was make a little historical perspective starting with Amy Beach and just going through until the 2000s. So it was a lot of fun. I learned a lot, and I think the audience enjoyed it.
Well, good. What are you what's coming up for you there in the coming season?
Oh, very exciting. For this year, in the fall, there's a Mary Cassatt exhibit coming, and it's going to be fabulous. And so what I'm going to focus on, as you know, Mary Cassatt was an American artist living in Paris, and she was associated with Impressionism. So I'm going to focus on American Impressionism and French Impressionism in music. So I'm going to, and also being a female in a man's world at that time. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to start out with Amy Beach and play a few selections by her. And then I'm going to include Ravel and Debussy for the French Impressionism aspect. And then I'm going to do some rarely heard works by Charles Griffiths.
Oh, nice.
And I'm going to do his piano sonata, which is, after the Ives is probably the second great American piano sonata. And that's fantastic. And then also the work, The Pleasure Dome of Kublai Khan.
Oh, sure.
And
sure,
I'm having a ball doing that. So that's in November. And then in March, in April, I'm going to play with a violinist, Yen Yu, and we're going to be focusing on the Russian wing, and we're going to, believe it or not, do Beethoven, the Kreutzer, as you know, Tolstoy wrote the Kreutzer Sonata story, and based on Beethoven's work, and then we'll finalize that with Shostakovich. Sonata.
Sounds great. So it sounds like you're very busy
and you're
practicing a tremendous amount, I'm sure. And that's
and
for
researching.
And it's part of the whole thing. And that's so important in understanding the music and giving it a totally special perspective is by knowing it's the environment it was written in and some of the background and what have you.
It enhances the listening
experience. And it does, and I really think it does.
So I try to help the audience come along this journey with me.
And it really does. Well, let's now go to the last movement of the Concord Mass Sonata, Thoreau.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted to say something about that and about the work in general, I think, some things we didn't talk about some of the themes and other themes, possibly.
Yeah, well, Charles Ives was very interested in transcendentalism.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the four movements, Emerson, Hawthorne, Alcott, and Thoreau, they're all based on the great writers who were living in Concord, Mass., Massachusetts. And the idea of, he says, of starting, even Thoreau talks about this, going from chaos to clarity is almost a metaphor for a life's journey. And we go through things, and then after we go through it, it all seems to get clearer as we go on. And then his thought of becoming one with the universe through nature was so pervasive. And in this piece, he starts out, as you heard in the first movement, with all of that massive notes.
Right.
And then Thoreau, it all thins out, and you hear things so much more clearly, and it ends really on just one note.
And quite it's
very softly. So it's just an amazing ending to this huge monumental work of 40 minutes long.
Well, we're going to hear it now. We listen now to the final movement, Thoreau, from the Piano Sonata No. 2, Concord Mass of Charles Ives, as performed by my guest, Roseanne Vita Nejas. You were just listening to Thoreau, the final movement from the Piano Sonata No. 2, Concord Mass of Charles Ives. In our performance, you heard pianist Roseanne Vitanejas, who was my guest for the last hour. Well, Roseanne, thanks very much for coming down.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure to have you. And I think what was so wonderful about this meeting was that it gave people a little more of an insight to not only this work, but to Ives as well, mm-hmm. in 1 hour. So it was really a wonderful visit. And again, I want to thank you so much and nothing but the best of luck.
Oh, thank you so much. My pleasure to be here.
It was great to have you.